Our sermon today picks up from the story that we heard earlier in the book of Esther, chapter 1, verses 10 through 22. On the seventh day, when the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Biztha, Harbana, Bigtha, and Abagtha, Zithar, and Carcass, the seven eunuchs who attended him, to bring Queen Vashti before the queen wearing the royal crown, in order to show the peoples and the officials her beauty, for she was fair to behold. But Queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command and conveyed by the eunuchs. At this time the king was enraged, and his anger burned within him. Then the king consulted the sages who knew the laws, for this was the king's procedure toward all who were versed in law and custom, and those next to him were Karshina, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Meres, Marcena, and Memucan, the seven officials of Persia and Media, who had access to the king and sat first in the kingdom. According to the law, what is to be done to Queen Vashti because she has not performed the command of King Ahasuerus conveyed by the eunuchs? Then Memucan said in the presence of the king and the officials, "Not only has Queen Vashti done wrong to the king, but also to all the officials and all the peoples who are in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus. For this deed of the queen will be made known to all women, causing them to look with contempt on their husbands, since they will say, 'King Ahasuerus commanded Queen Vashti to be brought before him, and she did not come.' This very day the noble ladies of Persia and Media, who have heard of the queen's behavior, will rebel against the king's officials, and there will be no end of contempt and wrath. If it pleases the king, let a royal order go out from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and the Medes, so that it may not be altered, that Vashti is never again to come before King Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal position to another who is better than she." So when the decree made by the king is proclaimed throughout all his kingdom, vast as it is, all women will give honor to their husbands, high and low alike. This advice pleased the king and the officials, and the king did as Memucan promised. He sent letters to all the royal provinces, to every province in its own script, and to every people in its own language, declaring that every man should be master in his own house. God, thank you for inviting us to come together and feast on your word. So did you wonder, what would I do with the letter X in this Through the Bible A to Z sermon series? I kind of wonder too. As you might suspect, there are very few people or places that start with the letter X in the regular dictionary, let alone the Bible. So just when I started to think I'd have to X out the letter X, I leafed through a Bible dictionary and discovered something. The name Ahasuerus is Xerxes in Greek, so voila, problem solved. I had my X. The book of Esther is an oddity. It's the only book in the whole Bible that doesn't mention God by name, not even once. And yet God's impact and handprint is seen throughout the volume, even if the writer didn't acknowledge that it was God working behind the scenes to get things done. Here's a rundown of the story of Esther. I encourage you to take time today or this week to read it. It's quick and easy. So, King Xerxes threw a banquet and got mad when his wife, Queen Vashti, dissed him by telling him a flat-out no when he ordered her to come and parade herself before his guests. We'll get to the gist of that matter in a minute. Vashti was banished, and the king held a beauty contest to choose his next queen. Esther, a young Jewish girl, won the beauty contest and became queen. One of Xerxes' officers, Haman, was offended when Esther's uncle Mordecai refused to bow to him. So Haman decided to kill all the Jews in Persia, not just Mordecai. He thought he was too important to kill just one person. Mordecai asked Esther to plead for the people with the king. She said she wasn't sure she could. The king executed people who approached him uninvited, and he hadn't requested her presence for some time. Mordecai said, "Don't think you're safe just because you're in the king's palace. Who knows? Perhaps you have been made queen for such a time as this." Esther asked Mordecai and all the Jews in Susa to go on a 3-day feast, fast, with her and for her. "Then I'll go into the king," she said, "and if I perish, I perish. In the meantime, Haman built a gallows 50 cubits high on which he planned to hang Mordecai. But when Esther revealed to the king his plot to kill her and all her people, Xerxes had Haman executed on the gallows instead. Xerxes had signed an edict declaring a particular day for preying on and killing the Jewish people. In Persia, the king's law was irreversible, so he couldn't retract it or veto it. But he wrote another edict allowing the Jews to fight back against their enemies. These events are still celebrated in some Jewish communities with a festival called Purim. Purim means lots because Haman casts lots to choose the right day of destruction for the Jews. The story is read aloud in the synagogue, and every time Haman's name is mentioned, the people boo and hiss and shake noisemakers to drown out the sound of his name. And that's the basic story of Esther. But back to Xerxes and that banquet. You ever go to a banquet that lasted 6 whole months? That was some banquet. Well, it probably wasn't one long, never-ending banquet with the same guests. Some scholars speculate it was set up so different governors and nobles from different provinces came at certain times. Well, certainly there were lots of people under Xerxes' rule, and apparently it took 6 months to entertain them all. The description of the banquet gives us a glimpse as to just what kind of king Xerxes was. One historian said he was cruel, passionate, and capricious. He was all about the show, the flash, the pomp, and circumstance. He specifically threw this banquet to display the great wealth of his kingdom and the splendor and pomp of his majesty, his enormous wealth, and the abundant possessions he hoarded. If you're thinking Xerxes sounds like the kind of person who had a fragile ego and needed to be flattered and praised all the time, you're right. Xerxes was not playing with a full deck. He did some strange things during his reign. One story says he decorated a tree with expensive jewelry to reward it for being fruitful. The oddest story told about him says he got mad at the sea for storming and destroying some bridges he had built. So he ordered the sea to be whipped and chained as punishment. That's surely a sign Xerxes was not very rational. He took things to extremes, and so when Vashti told him no way, she wasn't going to come out and strut her stuff before his drunken guests, Xerxes got furious. But who could blame Vashti for refusing? Sure, he was the king, but he was drunk. Persian etiquette said women and men didn't mingle at banquets and feasts. That's why Vashti had a separate feast of her own for the women. Xerxes was proud of his kingdom, proud of all the stuff he owned. And he thought of Vashti like that, just another thing he owned, something he could use or abuse as he saw fit. She was his queen, but she was also his subject, and she was thus obligated to obey his whims, however wacky they were. Some scholars think the men at Xerxes' table were arguing about what country had the most beautiful women, and Xerxes decided to end the argument by showing off Vashti's beauty. Her name indeed means beautiful. Scholars also think Xerxes ordered her to come out wearing only her royal crown and nothing else. Vashti had too much pride and dignity to do that, and so she told the king no. The same one who wanted to chain the sea now wanted to chain his queen and all the rest of the women in his kingdom. Xerxes consulted his so-called wise men to ask them what to do. I'm suspicious of these guys. They were too ready with a solution. Like they thought all this out before they were just waiting for a time to take Vashti down. Perhaps they didn't like her. Perhaps they thought she had too much influence over the king. They thought her refusal was going to stir up trouble in their own homes with their own wives. If the queen told the king no, what would ordinary women say to ordinary men? Vashti couldn't get away with this. If she did, the kingdom would dissolve into chaos, contempt, and wrath. Women refusing to obey their husbands and daring to talk back to them. What a scandal. Vashti was setting a dangerous precedent. This situation had to be nipped in the bud pronto. You know, let's make a law against this. As you can figure, Xerxes was a man of whims. He wasn't insightful. He wasn't discerning. He wasn't discreet. He heard an idea and he went for it, without arguing, without thinking of fairness or repercussions. Throughout the book of Esther, Xerxes easily falls prey to other people's slickness. All they had to do was flatter him. All Haman had to do was tell him that there was a certain group of people in the kingdom who flaunted Xerxes' laws and the king shouldn't tolerate them. He never identified who those people were. He just knew the right buttons to push, and he knew Xerxes would blindly go along with his plan just to make himself look powerful and mighty. There are any number of tangents to take with this book. It could be used and probably has been used to fuel a diatribe about the rights of women, to assert a woman's right to self-respect and dignity, and a woman's right to say no to being exploited. It could be used and probably has been used to inspire women to speak up for what they want and articulate how they want to be treated. It could be used and probably has been used to demonstrate biblically that the man is the head of the household and should and must be obeyed no matter what. It could be and probably has been used to inspire people to stand up to their enemies and fight back against injustice and insanity. I wonder what happened to Vashti. Was she relieved to be relieved of the crown? Was she around when Esther was chosen to replace her? Did she envy Esther? Vashti set the wheels in motion for Esther's elevation, and then Vashti vanished. Still want to find God in this book. We can absolutely tell that God was in the mix, setting the stage for Esther to become the queen and heroine of her people. Who else could it be but God, who made everything work out so well? Vashti's simple no made it possible for Esther to arrive on the scene at the convergence of different events at just the right time. Because Vashti spoke up against Xerxes, Esther was there when God needed someone to speak up for the chosen people and stand in the breach and rescue them. Where else is God in this story? Xerxes is a prototype for earthly kings that lets us contrast what kind of king God is. One of Xerxes' titles was Mighty King, King of Kings, King of Populous Countries, King of this great and mighty earth far and near. Well, excuse me, Xerxes, we know who is the true King of Kings, the king who rules over the entire universe, not just one paltry part. So what, Xerxes? So you threw a sumptuous six-month banquet. Well, God is right now preparing a banquet for us that will last for eternity, forever and ever, not just 180 days. And to this banquet, God invites not only ministers and nobles and governors, so-called important people. To this banquet, God invites everyone, the meek and the weak, the lowly and the lonely, the saved and the sinners, princes and poor alike. And we all dine together. There is no separation of the sexes because God has decreed in the coming kingdom that there is no longer Jew or Greek, there is no longer slave or free, there is no longer male and female, for all of us are one in Christ Jesus. Perhaps this is the meaning of the book of Esther, to show us that no earthly king can compare to God, no earthly banquet can compare to the feast we celebrate each week when we gather at the table and find the bread and the wine that remind us of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. He is the rescuer and savior of his people needed. Esther put her life on the line to ask the king to help save her people, yes. But Jesus put his life on the cross to save all people. Xerxes showed off the glory and the majesty of his kingdom, but it was only a temporary splendor. Archaeologists have found the ruins of Xerxes' palace where this feast was held, and it truly is impressive. But his kingdom didn't last. We are all invited to come to God's kingdom, to enjoy a feast that will never end, a feast that satisfies not just our physical needs, but our spiritual needs as well. God invites us to be part of his kingdom and part of the healing, the heroism, and the hope. We are the riches of God's kingdom, the embodiment of God's excellence and providence and mercy and love. What an honor it is to receive and to accept God's invitation. Let us pray. God, show us the glory and majesty and splendor of your kingdom. Thank you for inviting us to be part of it. Thank you for Jesus Christ, who has prepared the way for us to come to your eternal banquet. He offers himself to us for the forgiveness of our sins. May your hand of mercy and grace and love be upon us all now and forevermore. Amen.
Seeking a refuge for my soul.